is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
What is that guy's name, by the way, Dell? Do you know him?
Yeah.
This is ESPN 97.5. Yeah. You're listening to The Bench.
This is 91.3 Orlando. The monster.
He does that probably about 40 different
moments. Yeah, right, right. What is that? You don't know his name?
He's the brand.
No,
guy.
I would have to ask Michael Carroll.
Yeah, he just swore.
And the care factor's
not
high enough.
He said The Bitch.
You're listening to The Bitch.
What?
That's what one of you in there said.
No, I never said that.
I'm reading, the ESPN did an entire thing on Tim Donaghy and how he fixed games. It says, and I don't know that this is true.
That's not believable.
It says, this is the first time that it's ever, how it actually happened. We know it happened. He went to prison for it. Tim Donaghy did, the referee who was caught in 2007 fixing games. But this is the first time that it's ever been written how he did it. And it's really interesting, this underworld. And dude did it for $2,000 a game. $2,000 a freaking game.
Man,
and
you do 10 games,
and the guy who set it up tried to get $1 million a game on it, and he gets 2,000. That sounds like a poor deal.
What do you think the going rate would be?
Oh my God,
should be 5,000.
Well, and you know,
I don't think you're getting more than 5.
Here's why: and
you're not getting $1 million down on basketball games without people.
And that game 6 that we were talking about against the Spurs, a lot of people were like, "Man, James looked like he threw that game. He just threw it. It just looked like he." When you have $200 million, there is no amount of money that could get you to fix a game and lose all of that. So that it's just dumb. The way to get to a game is through a referee who doesn't make nearly
right.
as much money.
Right.
But $2,000 in 2007 to fix games? This right. dude just had an addiction. Mm-hmm. He just had a sickness. I don't know. I can't even imagine what it would cost because you lose everything. By the way, after this, you know you're going to prison. You're going to jail.
Well, but if you don't get caught,
going to jail.
If you don't get caught, you can do 5 games for $25,000. That's totally believable. That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. But you
especially a lot of money if you have
you don't
gambling.
Become an NBA referee unless you have a regular job though that you're making good money. You're not susceptible to a $100,000 bribe because you should be well off enough.
Why do you say that?
Because
how much you think they make?
Because on their regular jobs, I knew growing up,
aren't they full time in the NBA?
The NBA. Well,
NFL wasn't. NBA is
NFL
full-time.
Isn't. Yeah. NFL isn't. College basketball wasn't. My buddy's dad was a college basketball ref in the Big Ten. And he had to have a job. He was looked into. I mean, they did background checks and they continued to stay on top of him and watched money and watched, you know, abnormal spending and all of this stuff. You have to be reputable to be able to get into that job. NFL refs are pretty well off. You can't be a guy that just takes money you can't be a guy that needs money and become an NFL referee. You have to be pretty well off to get that job because otherwise you are susceptible to bookies.
I don't know well off. I mean, you get paid. This is a full-time job. NBA referees are paid per game and their annual salary. The site that I'm seeing had a listing. The average salary for an NFL ref sits somewhere between $25,000 and $70,000 per year. When comparing this price to the income of other sports referees, this isn't much, though the job profile, yada, yada, yada. and then they get to the NBA. So how much is an NBA referee's annual salary? An NBA's ref's average pay falls in the range of $150 to $550, depending upon the referee's experience. Latest information we were able to find is a couple years old, but these numbers have been referenced several times on many sites. It says that an entry level is $150,000. However, according to Sports Economist, the National Basketball Referees Association claimed that number to be somewhat lower, $91,000, during negotiations in 2009. So that's a little while back. And the referee salaries back then in 2008 was $95,000 to $300,000. And Tim Donaghy was in the early 2000s when all that went down. He was probably making $150,000 to $180,000. I don't know that that makes him not susceptible to a bribe.
No.
I think he's very susceptible.
He was susceptible. $2,000 worth. A bribe of $2,000. He has a problem,
though. You know how much he made per game? In the neighborhood of $2,400 a game. He was getting a game salary from fixing games. It was like doing an extra game. Yeah. I mean,
but $2,000 for fixing a game is nothing.
We don't know
nothing.
His situation. I don't know if he was in debt. I don't know what his credit card situation was. I don't know. I just know that he probably thought he could do 10 games. Maybe he got more for playoffs. Maybe he got more for, you know, when they were able to get more down. But basketball is way harder. People recognize betting patterns because there's not as much money coming in. Like, you're going to get caught in basketball.
Right.
Because somebody's going to get greedy and put more money on certain games.
By 2019, the annual salary of an NFL referee will be $205,000.
Yeah, you know why they've done that.
Yeah.
They've done that because they want to make it full-time.
Well, because they're so good at their job.
No, they want to make them full-time and not susceptible to.
Well, they need to be full-time.
Potential game.
They need to be full-time.
Absolutely.
Because their other job is really distracting them, and they really suck at this job.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is. Yes. No, that's exactly what it is.
It's distracting them, or they just aren't that good.
How about if they train all week long as opposed to
how about they just
be lawyers or whatever they are?
How about they get some new guys that are more competent?
Well, I don't know how you know that they're going to be competent until they get on the field. Guys not having any experience
incompetence. Oh, really? Because remember Major League Baseball? Really competent home plate umpires forever. They had a lifetime. They were tenured like a Supreme Court justice. And guys like Eric Gregg and all those guys are just like, shut your face, you stupid idiot.
Yeah.
They would yell at baseball. They would because they knew they couldn't be touched. And then they went on strike. Dumbest move ever.
Yeah.
Because in Major League Baseball is like, oh my God.
No. They quit so that they could circumvent the collective bargaining agreement. And then when they quit, they say, you quit. Bye.
Bye-bye. Eric Gregg, you out. They knocked out about 12 umpires. Like, no quit. Well, we take back our quit.
Well done. Well played, sir.
And Major League Baseball umpiring has gotten better.
I honestly believe, we were talking about this yesterday, in Iran, they would not play a soccer game in Germany because there was a female referee. They wouldn't in Iran. They said we're not airing this because she had shorts on. Yeah.
Well, that's a cultural.
Well,
and in some cases,
and it makes perfect
a religious
sense.
Thing.
You wouldn't want to see a referee with shorts on. No, but
typically no.
Well, but my thought was Dell goes, it's an icky girl in your sport. You hate that. No, if you want to know the truth, I would be fine with more female referees because maybe they're better than guys who suck at it. I'm with you. Let's get new people in there.
If you're not good at your job, my gosh, there's hundreds and hundreds of referees and probably into the thousands who are training, who are good, who are able to get into position and see it, who have quicker eyes, process more quickly. You know, it's a skill set too. I mean, you can't tell me there's not better referees than when people who can't see Kevin Durant out of bounds in basketball, who can't see travels in basketball, who can't see the hit that was made in the New Orleans game. I mean, come on. There's people better than that.
Yeah. No.
It's one thing to make a mistake, but it can't be that egregious.
Yeah. No. I'm with you. They suck. No, they suck. They literally suck at what they do.
Men's T Clinic doesn't suck at what they do. They're really good at what they do. And if you now, there are some other companies out there who probably do suck at the testosterone thing. And here's how I know. Because Men's T Clinic, they actually have a percentage of their clientele who comes in because they know they were tested as low in testosterone, and yet they haven't gotten the benefits. They haven't seen any difference with the other guys that they're with. You know, at a men's T clinic, it's really about making sure that you get the right level of treatment. You know, you can have too much or you can have too little, and it shows up in terms of how you end up, whether or not you end up with any type of side effects or whether or not you end up with getting the results that you're looking for from a metabolism standpoint, lean muscle standpoint, a cognitive standpoint, even an energy level standpoint. I was lower. They do quarterly tests. They ran my test and they said, okay, your numbers are not where they need to be. We're going to increase your dosage. So they increased my dosage and it made a huge difference. Men's T Clinic goes that extra step to make sure that you're at your best self. And that's what having your testosterone level at the right numbers means. It means getting back to being the real you, your best you. Men's T Clinic, Pasadena, Pearland, Cypress, and the Heights, mensteaclinic.com.
Home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 816 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. To get in here to hang with us, Adam wants to talk about Kirk Cousins. Everybody's talking about Kirk Cousins right now. What do you say, Adam? How are you?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Good, man.
What was that stat about Kirk Cousins?
He's like 4-26, or it's maybe even worse now, against winning teams.
So he's the Bill O'Brien of quarterbacks?
No, he's not the Bill O'Brien of quarterbacks, although I will say this. No, Bill O'Brien beats winning teams. He just doesn't beat really, really good teams ever. Yeah. Bill, that's a true. I mean, honestly, this is very
when
difficult.
Have you ever counted the Bengals as a really good
team?
Well,
they were 8-0. They were 8-0.
Yeah, but they weren't a really good team.
It was the middle of the season. It was coming. They were coming off a bye. They beat them 10-6.
I'm making your point for you.
10-6 or something like that.
Yeah. I'm making your point.
The Red Rifle.
I remember.
Yeah.
I remember the amazing.
That was Bill O'Brien's signature win.
Yeah, it's just never good to beat the Bengals.
Well, and you said, well, the playoff game, but he beat Connor Cook. Honestly, that was a piss poor team. That were in their third quarterback.
Oh, sorry, they won a playoff game.
Well,
John.
They didn't even have Scott McGloin. Okay.
I think the other game they beat Andy Dalton.
Which other game?
Playoffs. Or did he not?
No, he didn't win that one. Yeah, he didn't win. He's got one playoff win. That's it.
Are you sure? Yeah. No.
Yeah, one. That's it.
What about this year?
Zero.
They won this year.
Yeah, no. They lost to the Colts in the playoffs.
No, they beat the Colts.
Yeah. So, one playoff win, and it was against Connor Cook.
So?
And
no, it was against Khalil Mack. That's how I look at it. Mm. They beat Khalil Mack. I'm sorry they beat Khalil Mack. Yeah. My apologies.
Everyone's sorry.
If you don't like people who beat Khalil Mack, you're not going to like Bill O'Brien.
Well, Nick Foles beat Khalil Mack, so it's not that difficult, apparently.
Yeah.
Cody Parkey really beat
Khalil Mack.
Does Khalil Mack have... Oh. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, no, I don't want to play that Bill O'Brien beating good teams game again.
We can play the how many games has he lost when he's led at halftime game. That's a good
game
for Bill O'Brien.
None of those are fun.
It's a good
game. None of those are fun.
That's a good game.
That's a good game.
He's like 901.
He leads the universe.
Yeah, he's the greatest percentage halftime coach ever.
Leading at halftime.
It is true.
It is true.
It's a stat that's real.
I know. Well, they jump out on really poor teams. I mean, that Eagles game just sticks in my craw. If you win that freaking game, you got home field advantage. The whole thing is different. And all of the, you know, I mean, you went on the road. You beat a good football team. All of those things. and you just couldn't hold on. How about the defense stop somebody when you got to get a stop?
And you know what?
Lord.
That game falls into that, hey, he lost the game leading at halftime. The most important one that he could have won. He did not win.
That's true.
I think it's his second loss. Yeah. They're up 16-13 at the time at half.
There's a vote out there right now. I don't know if you guys saw. Somebody put it out there. The best ESPN foreign-born person. It's Del, Raheel, or Trey.
Trey's from this country, and so am I.
So are
Raheel's
you.
The only, no, yeah, Raheel's the only one.
Yeah, but I don't know why, but you guys, who's the best foreign ESPN 97.5 on-air talent? Raheel, Del, or Trey?
Raheel. I'm not foreign and neither is Trey.
Well, but Trey is kind of alien, isn't he? And you kind of are, too.
No, I'm not.
You're kind of.
Now, Florida, it can be considered.
Your dad is.
Yeah, so what?
I mean, that's foreign-born.
No, I'm not foreign-born.
I mean, Russian models or whatever he had?
No, that's John McVay. He had a Russian mail-order bride.
Mail-order
bride. That never came over. I was born in a
Daytona. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. You're kind of foreign-born.
I mean, you can call that a foreign country, but it is part of the U.S.
Where were you born?
Daytona.
In Daytona? Yeah, it's Florida. Thank you.
Yeah, so it's still considered part of the country. It determines elections. I'm Florida.
Can we please not discuss Bill O'Brien's piss-poor playoff good team record? It's a rainy really day already. This depressing conversation. I'm concerned for the well-being of my fellow Houstonians. Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to get into that. That was Adam. Kirk Cousins is not the Bill O'Brien of quarterbacks, okay? Can we stop it?
Isn't he?
No, he's not. It is just ridiculous how Bill O'Brien does beat winning teams.
Bill O'Brien's more Andy
just
Dalton.
Just not really good teams.
Bill O'Brien's Andy Dalton.
No, he's got a playoff win.
Andy Dalton's been to Connor Cook, you just talked about how that doesn't count. Now you're going to say it does count.
No, it counts.
He's Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton's been to the playoffs multiple times. He's Andy Dalton. That's all. That's what he is.
Well, there's nothing wrong with being Andy Dalton.
Well,
he's
why
the
are you
KD
fighting
Tiger.
It? Then why are you
whatever.
Fighting it then?
He's the Red
Stop
Rifle.
Stop fighting it then. I okay. called him Andy Dalton. You took issue with it.
Homegrown.
Are you okay with it then?
Yeah.
All right then.
Yeah.
You seem not okay with it at first.
No, I'm fine with it. That's our guy. That's our guy. Andy Dalton and Bill O'Brien. Those are our guys. Okay? Justin Verlander gave Forrest Whitley a new jersey. It's Daddy 68. He put Daddy on the back of it. I don't know why. Is Forrest Whitley a new daddy or
Maybe.
Something? Or who? He's your daddy. Maybe he's your daddy.
I don't know. I hope that's what people have to call him. That he's some of these people's daddy this year.
So, any chance? No, I don't think there's any chances that Forrest Whitley or Corbin Martin are on this roster when they break camp.
No, I don't care about that. Any chance they're in there in July?
Oh, absolutely.
One of them or both of them? I think one.
I think one too.
Yeah.
I don't think that they'll go to war. And the problem is that you're going to have to depend on that.
God, man, I wouldn't want to give away. This is just what drives me crazy about baseball. I get it. I get why you have to play the arbitration game, the time served game. But, man, you would just like to break camp. If one of them is the best five in the starting rotation, you would love to just let's get it rolling right off the bat.
You know, you can do it 15 days in. It's just that they'll go to arbitration a year earlier.
Nah, I know.
He'll be a super two.
Yeah.
But that's fine. That's what they did with Chris Bryant. Well, you know, when you're fighting for a title, it's
who did that with Chris Bryant?
The
Not
Cubs.
The Astros.
No, the Cubs did.
Yeah, exactly.
But they knew that they were a World Series team.
It's an everyday player though.
That is so what? It's his fifth every fifth day.
I know. That's I
And
don't
if
think
he's going
that.
To it, okay, so if Josh James loses those games. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. My Sports Map article this week is really there's no questions because Charlie wrote an article and he didn't write the headline, but the article was that the Astros have very few questions going into this season, and I guess he was talking about roster. I guess, but there are a lot of questions going into this season. I mean, this is the most in 3 years. If you want to know the truth. Who the hell, when you lose 60% of your rotation, and, oh, by the way, you're taking the new rotation comes out of your bullpen, which sucked at the end of the year. And Carlos Correa and the catcher. The catcher position will hit 216. Under, over?
Over.
Okay, I'm going to go under.
The position?
The position.
So you're going to fade Max Stassi like that?
Stassi and Chirinos.
Chirinos hit that by himself last year. Stassi's a better hitter. I'll take it right now. You think that there, and you also aren't anticipating a move at, potentially a move at catcher, which I think is possible.
Well, when? By when? Well, what, okay.
But why didn't they go after Machete?
Because he stopped being able to catch a baseball.
Is that a permanent thing?
Stassi ended up 226.
Chirinos over.
Was 222. So they're both over.
Double overs.
220. Yeah, okay.
You're basically giving away money with your 216 prop bet.
I'm telling you.
You better go 224 and a half is a more realistic one.
Maldonado hit 231 last year.
Seems high. It was even better. He had a triple.
He had four homers. Stassi hit 8 homers last year.
That's right. Get on board the Stassi train, son.
27 RBIs in 221 at-bats. That's a disaster.
That's not a disaster.
Yes, it is. Chirinos is not a hitter.
He hit 18 home runs last year, John.
Did he?
Yes.
In that bandbox?
Boom.
Well,
he's not in a big park. He's not in that small, in that little bandbox anymore.
No. Yeah, okay.
You mean the Crawford boxes aren't going to help Chirinos any as a right-handed hitter?
We'll see.
Well, you better get around early.
He was in the.
If you don't get around early, all of a sudden you got to hit it about 400 again.
Yeah, right. Go ahead, hit it in the center. That ball jumps out of that park.
Minute Maid has been known to give up some home runs.
Never. It's like a barren desert. What about the DH position? What about
Why are you so worried about?
I'm worried about this team.
Worried about it
because they did.
Tyler White's fine.
Is he?
Yeah.
White privilege is back.
Yeah.
Don't worry about white privilege. He'll be fine.
It's not his nickname, Dell.
It's better than the one that they want to go with.
How many homers?
Who's they?
The people in that room that you sit next to.
Not me.
They want to go with white power.
White power. He hit 12 homers.
White privilege.
White power.
White power's not going to be a name either.
It's white privilege.
It's not neither one of your names with the Astros.
Let's go. Okay, let's break this down before you go to break. White power, he hit 12 home runs.
Right.
How about white privilege? Because he got every opportunity to stay in that lineup despite his struggling.
He didn't struggle. He got red hot. He was hot. He was helping carry the Astros.
Not early.
He didn't watch baseball.
Not early. He sucked early.
He didn't get every opportunity. There was a bunch of injuries.
Did he suck early?
No, I don't think he sucked early.
No, Dell just wants it. He's trying to figure out how he can make him white privilege.
No, because this was agreed upon last year.
Wasn't agreed upon.
Yes, it was.
We don't want somebody's grandma.
He sucked early. He didn't come up until June.
And he sucked.
And he hit 421 in June.
He sucked.
He did suck.
Oh, the old Ted Williams.
No, he actually was. He came up and was on fire.
Was it the year
before he wasn't as good?
That's where I gave him the name, because he sucked and he kept getting put in the lineup.
He hit 421 and 394 his first 2 months.
I just said it was the year
before. 385 is next month.
We apologize. What a privileged player he is.
I said I was wrong. It was the year before. Oh, you're. Oh, what?
Oh, that was. He's looking at OPS.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, so what did he hit before?
No, I'm not talking.
What did he actually hit?
I was right.
Break. I was right.
Absolute marble.
Break.
267, 286.
Break. Don't tell Dell. No. That's good enough,
267, 286. That's not privilege.
Early?
325.
I'm pretty sure that white privilege thing started in 2017.
226 at the end. That was bad. All right, time for me to talk about Jeff Aronoff and Absolute Marble and Granite.
You got two shots over here at the radio station. No one's saying Dell's privilege.
What?
Dell had his first go-round here. Didn't go well.
Well, only because.
And then why did he get a second one? Privilege.
No, because. Yeah. No, it's because the other guy left. There wasn't any privilege involved. The guy left. Oh, okay, we can do this again.
Kind of.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it happened.
How many shots have you had, by the way?
Yeah. What are you talking about?
You're the whore of Babylon when it comes to Houston.
Whoa. Shots. I haven't flamed out.
You get
whore
shots.
Of Babylon.
I don't need shots. I get number one ratings.
How many stations have you been at?
I don't need shots.
How many number one shows does he
have
to be on?
I'm recruited. No one just gives me anything.
Okay. All right.
I'm an earner. They call me the earner, Dell.
They don't call you that.
He's the number one overall pick.
No one calls you that.
Rain Man.
He's the Kyler Murray.
That's right.
No, well, no, not. My arm's much longer.
He's Kirk Cousins.
He thinks
as long as the money's guaranteed, I'll take the Kirk Cousins.
We got to talk about this. He thinks Kyler Murray's a velociraptor.
His arms are going to be super short.
Lance beats up.
He's like this.
No, he's not a velociraptor.
He's not a velociraptor.
His measurement day is not going to go great.
Lance will smack around the lesser known, the lesser talented host. He's Kirk Cousins.
What are you talking about?
Tyler White is white power, and that's all.
He's not white power.
He doesn't hit enough home runs.
The Astros don't want either of you on the branding team. I can promise you.
Better than Take It Back.
White power. I'm calling it.
No, white privilege is not better than Take It Back.
Yes, it is.
Do you know your fan base at all,
Put it on the shirt. White privilege. People would buy that shirt. You don't think people would buy that shirt?
Oh, you know how many people would buy white power shirt?
But they don't
Everyone with a MAGA hat.
But they don't want that on them.
Just go to break.
Time to talk about Jeff Aronoff. That's what I'm talking about. Jeff Aronoff and Absolute Marble and Granite. Absolute Marble and Granite. Yes. You, my friends, and this is goes for your business, too, because, you know, your bathroom is garbage. It's terrible. People go in there and go, oh, my God, what a crappy place this is. I'm never coming back here. Well, clean it up. Put a new vanity in. It's actually not that expensive. Okay, Jeff Aronoff can get you that vanity, and you don't know which one to pick, what goes with the decor. How about the countertop that you need for your business, your bar, whatever it is that you're installing? You want to install a bar at your house, a permanent bar? Jeff Aronoff will do that. He can make that for you. An entire room, an entire bar room, all of the countertop that you need for that, and he does it, and he's going to do it for 20% off. And it's not only that, it's outdoor. So our outdoor couldn't have been worse. The backyard was terrible, an old swing set back there thrown away and all this. And Jeff Aronoff literally turned it into a beautiful backyard, and it helped run the resale of the house. You can't sell your house unless you put something into it, and that's what Jeff Aronoff is here for. Make the big plunge. You give him a call, 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Absolute Marble and Granite.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.
Yeah.
Weezy.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
This is what you and Dell spawn. The first two guys in line to buy the white power t-shirts are the two MAGA guys that held up Jesse Smollett.
Jussie Smollett?
We're not doing this again.
No. What does Jussie rhyme with?
Sussy.
Bussy.
Mm-hmm. Bussy.
Hussy.
Bussy. Hussy.
Pussy.
Ooh. Mm, gross.
Right. Well, after he got beat up by those white guys.
He barely got touched.
Well, no, he didn't. Remember, he got assaulted.
Did
and
he?
And they used ugly words on him.
Did they?
Yeah. Yes, they did. His nickname is Great White. No, it's not. His nickname is White Power.
His nickname is White Privilege.
White Power.
It's none of y'all's nicknames.
He was terrible in 2016. The Astros continued. They gave him at bats. They gave him another chance in 2017. White Privilege. That's where it came from.
Thank goodness he stuck around so he could get his opportunity to actually get at bats and show that he could play.
But.
How many at bats did he get in those years you're talking about?
240 plus in 2016.
As a rookie?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I can't believe a rookie didn't hit 300.
Oh, but Kyle Tucker now is all of a sudden tradable because
Tucker's tradable if you're going to get Real Muto, yeah.
What?
They're not trading him for Real Muto.
I know, but he was tradable.
Well, they wouldn't. No, he wasn't.
He was not tradable.
No, he was not tradable.
Because Jeff Leno can't pull a trigger.
Whoa. God.
He's like,
okay.
Shoot, Jeff. Just shoot it.
Do you want Astros Twitter to to light you
let
up?
Let it go.
Is
let
this
him
what
go.
You want? Haven't you gotten enough from West Virginia fans?
No. Who's worse, Astros Twitter or West Virginia? West Virginia fans? They're the worst.
They're the worst?
Yeah, they're bad. They're not the worst. Ohio State fans are the worst, but West Virginia fans are just, they're just not self-aware. They're just clueless about the rest of college football and what good, better players look like.
Maybe
good college football players are one thing. Draft prospects are a different
thing. You don't know how great West Virginia players are.
Yeah, I do.
Maybe you don't.
I keep putting good grades on them, and they keep making me look dumb.
Where'd you have Carl Joseph?
First round.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, big mistake. He hadn't played like it. They're already talking about getting a new safety.
Well, was he a first rounder or wasn't he?
Yeah, I was wrong. He wasn't a first round talent.
Well, he was first rounder.
No, your grade's supposed to be what they'll be after 3 years, and it should have been, you know, replaceable backup.
Says you.
I made a mistake.
If I'm a West Virginia fan, if you could miss so poorly on or badly on Carl Joseph, how can I trust you on David Sills and Will Greer?
That's right.
If I could miss on the high side,
how can I trust you?
Daryl Worley, all their players. Daryl Worley, him.
Well, the whites.
Nick Kwiatkowski. That's somebody they like to like. Nick, what about you when you missed on him? I didn't miss on him. Kwiatkowski? This is, no one cares about these.
What about the wide receiver White?
Yeah, Kevin White's been great too.
He's been great. Why is Karl Lagerfeld dead and the idiot that asked this question of Kyle Tucker still alive?
And prayers what's
to
Tucker?
Wendy. And what's Kyle question? Tucker on wanting to make Astros opening day roster. Yeah. Why not? I'm not coming to spring training trying to go to AAA. That was kind of a dumb question of Kyle Tucker. Dell is a big Kyle Tucker guy.
I just don't understand. The crown jewel of the Astros organization gets traded. I know you guys are in win-now mode, but we got a plan for the future, too. And he's part of the Astros' long-term plan.
No, he deserves a second chance, too.
And he has 60-something at-bats.
No, he deserves... Is it that few?
Yes,
he deserves a second chance too. Now I did think
64 at bats. He hit 141.
I mean, he was.
I gave you the numbers
terrible.
For Alex Bregman in his first 60 at bats.
It was very comparable to Alex Bregman.
It was terrible, but he was. You don't come up that far with that much fanfare from Baseball America. I mean, they typically do a pretty good job.
Alex Bregman did. I mean, it was almost identical to Alex Bregman.
No.
And they cut Kyle Tucker off.
That's my point with Kyle Tucker.
Yeah,
with Kyle Tucker is he's had fanfare for a while. I don't know that he's a total slappy. He was completely overmatched last year.
Well,
there's no way.
If you look at exit velocity and how he hit the ball hard, he did hit the ball hard.
Okay, that's why you should keep giving these guys a second chance who have some fanfare coming up.
But AJ didn't. AJ didn't. AJ shut him down
because he didn't have to.
Yeah.
He didn't have a roster that had to.
Yeah. Alex Bregman got a much better opportunity
because Bregman was on a softer roster.
Yeah.
Bregman was on a softer roster. That roster was coming. I mean, that was a World Series roster.
Yes.
That
he's
was
coming off a World Series championship, right?
Left, center, right. I mean, they had some guys who could play.
Yeah.
So that's a totally different deal. You didn't have to keep playing Tucker. You knew Bregman was going to be your guy of the future. And sure enough, it showed up.
And we'll see. Maybe Kyle Tucker is. Maybe Kyle Tucker.
And maybe he is.
Maybe Kyle Tucker is the DH this year.
Maybe that'd be great if he turns into it. It'd be nice to have a left-handed bat in the lineup that supposedly can hit with some power.
Yeah.
This is unusual. A source told The Athletic the investment, a $250 million emergency investment to keep the AAF from missing payroll was paid by Tom Dundon, the Carolina Hurricanes majority owner. He owns a majority stake for the Hurricanes for $420 million he bought them in 2018. A source told The Athletic the investment was needed as the league was in danger of missing scheduled payments on Friday. Without a new nine-figure investor, nobody is sure what would have happened. The hope and belief now is that years from now, the AAF can look back and consider these some scary growing pains. Obviously, though, the original plan did not include a financial crisis in week two, quote-unquote. The league debuted 2 weeks ago with impressive TV ratings and strong interest from football-hungry fans, but the early money issues are concerning. He now has been named... You pay $250 million, he's now the chairman of the league. This is my thing with any startup football league, XFL, AAF, Pacific Coast League, whatever Don Yee's league is. It's always been the same. Any model that relies on ticket sales will fail. Any model that relies on a standalone model that derives revenue to pay out anything that is even remotely considered a heavy payroll is doomed in football. The only chance these leagues have is to have what the AAF has, about eight teams, and then to treat it like glorified practice squad games. It can't be about TV deals. It can't be about ticket sales. It can't be about revenue derived. It's got to be about a league that is tied to the NFL, that the NFL finances, so that they can have a minor league for their own system. That's the only thing that is going to make it. The faster they're absorbed by the NFL, which probably needs to happen, the faster they can be a viable league.
And I thought this was an NFL-backed league.
Mm-mm.
That they
no,
were
the NFL.
It's a sanctioned league.
Sanctions
yes.
the league, so to speak. I don't think there's any money behind it. The NFL,
which is dumb.
I mean, the NFL does not have a why financial.
Why don't they?
Because the NFL doesn't give money away, and they probably want them to build it themselves, and then they'll see about absorbing it or taking it over. Because you know what the NFL doesn't do? Just give guys whatever they want.
Well,
arbitration.
Here's the deal. Yeah, well, the NFL. See, that's a huge difference between baseball. Like Jim Crane, I want to own a minor league team when I'm. I want to be because I don't have to pay any of the players because the major league team pays all of the players from AAA on down to the low A ball. And you have your own system and you cultivate your own talent. The NFL, listen, you got to stay in college for 3 years and then we'll draft you.
No, but that's a free cultivation too.
It's absolutely free cultivation.
It's a good deal.
No, what do you mean two? It's the only place where you get to cultivate for free.
Yeah. College basketball used to be that.
And down the G League, at least they have a minor league place, a G League.
Yeah, but it didn't. They didn't really need one previously when it used to be you had to stay in college unless you got a quote unquote hardship and you had to prove your hardship back in the 80s. Financial hardships. You had Isaiah was rare in only 2 years. It was usually 3 years. In a lot of cases, it was four years.
No, but at least they have one.
So
but football's like, screw you. Well, you know what? We're the NFL. We don't have to pay a dime to cultivate any talent in our league.
Why should they? Why should they be financing?
Well, because they're
college
bajillionaires.
Football? They shouldn't be financing college football.
Not college football. This. They ought to be financing this. A league that can cultivate players that you can use down the road.
Here's the difference. In Major League Baseball and the NBA, well, not so much the NBA, but in Major League Baseball, those are real dudes coming up the ranks, right? They're real dudes. In football, we're talking about guys who you might hit on a few of them, but most of these guys are back into the roster guys. Like, you're going to have... And a lot of them are practice squad guys. This isn't great talent.
No.
You have some guys who might make it on rosters.
We heard from Oliver Luck, and when the World League was going on, there were guys that got there.
Yeah,
you get there.
You can get there. I totally agree with you, but they're not going to do it for crazy amounts of money. And I'm just telling you, their model is you build it. Maybe we'll buy it from you or we'll absorb it.
I mean, it's awesome.
That's a smart business model.
That's right. Because they can.
They got all the leverage.
845 ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 850 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Good tweet here by Rob Perez. The NBA has gone one day's. Since being unnecessarily dramatic. Congratulations to the NBA. Well, nobody's, I guess, yeah.
Because Antonio Brown's got that on lock.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that. Antonio Brown is just, he's destroying himself, isn't he? That he put out a video that said, hey, if your team has got guaranteed money, tell them to call me. I mean, on top of, okay, what?
He's making it harder to trade himself.
He's making it impossible.
If you went low key, so the Steelers want a first. I don't think they're getting that. But if he would go low-key and stay out of everything, but he's got to be the center of attention. So this stuff is going to do is make GMs just say, man, I don't want to deal with
What do
with
you
all
give
up
for him?
I would give him a second.
Oh, they're going to want more than a second.
Well, that's what I'd give up. You can.
Well, then you're not going to get
it. Then good luck with Antonio this year, Steelers. We wish you the best of luck. I'm not jumping in. I'm not paying everybody whatever they want in arbitration.
And,
I'm holding my
and
ground.
And yes, yesterday he's liking Instagram or I don't know what it was, tweets or whatever, about Ben raping. He was liking
Dude,
them.
You have a finite amount of time to earn this incredible money. I don't get how these guys think this lasts forever. Don't screw it up. Just keep your head down. Just know when to keep your head down a little bit and get traded and then do whatever you want to do. But right now is the time to keep your mouth shut if you want to get traded. And I don't understand how you don't get that. Keep your mouth shut, get what you want, which is traded, and then move on and try to rebrand yourself as this great teammate or whatever. I don't care, but you can't. You're making it harder to get what you want, because he can't stay off his phone. His screen time must be like 9 hours a day. You know, do you get those screen time?
Yeah.
It must just be crazy. You don't need to do an Instagram live video. To update everyone and to address your critics. Don't do any of that stuff. Just stay low profile and get done what you need to get done, which is get traded. And then get back to being you. But not right now, because you're making it too hard.
No, it's already too hard. It's already. He's making it so he can't go back to the Steelers, and he's making it so nobody wants him. He's making himself unemployable.
They don't want this drama. No one wants this. I mean, I got news for all the athletes. No teams want drama.
Mm-mm.
No GMs and no coaches want drama. A lot of the stars in football who are on other teams, they don't want drama on their team. They don't want issues. And guess what? Teams are run by star quarterbacks. Star quarterbacks are not going to want a wide receiver that they don't think is going to be on their side.
Right.
At all. So it's just not.
And if he doesn't get the ball, he's going to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah. I mean, but he's still worth the risk because he's super talented.
Oh, yeah. But
I'm not doing
it. Does he tear apart a locker room?
What do you mean?
Does he tear apart a locker room, but, you know, crushing your quarterback when he doesn't get the ball as much as he wants it?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, he has got to have total respect for the quarterback. Otherwise, I mean, literally, how many places? New England would be a place that he can play, but there's no chance that they would take that on.
I don't know that that's true. I don't know that. Bill Belichick takes on anything and everything. Randy Moss was similar. Randy Moss quit on a football team, and Bill Belichick said, come on in. Corey, Dylan.
But what has he got to give up? I mean,
He's not dumb. He knows what. Well, he's got a late first. I don't know that he would give up a late first, but. And the other thing is, does he fit what? Yeah, he fits what Tom Brady
does.
Would
the Steelers give him to the Patriots?
No.
Yeah.
No.
There's another thing.
No, they wouldn't.
So I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem to me like the only person it seems like that he's is Stephon Gilmore. He gave $64 million to after letting Malcolm Butler go. But Stephon Gilmore, I thought, was the best cornerback in football.
Because he hits his physical standards.
Yeah.
Malcolm Butler doesn't.
Yeah. No, true. But he's also a great, great player. He's a great player.
Stephon Gilmore, yeah.
Yeah.
Malcolm Butler was a good player. Something weird happened anyway at Super Bowl, but Stephon Gilmore is the height, weight, speed guy. He's a cover guy who hits physical standards, and that's why he is. But Antonio Brown is a special player, and somebody's going to trade for him. I don't think you're getting a first. The Steelers, and the more Antonio Brown talks, the less likely it is going to be that he gets dealt anytime soon.
Yep. No, the worse it is. He's making it so he can't stay there and he can't go anywhere, which is... That's a good move if you're trying to make, you know, $20 million a year. It's a really good move. You know, be unemployable. 856 ESPN 97.5. Raheel joins us for on the other side.
Hey, when we come back, the probability you'll break up with your partner, we've got a little quiz that will actually tell you. So for many of you, we will let you know when you're breaking up.
I want to see
you and your next
grandma
stay with
his partner. Pardon me?
I assumed you would drop a grandma reference or something.
We want to see whether or not you and grandma, if this wall has come between you.
You're the two who are actually in relationships, so maybe this should be about you two.
Or you and grandma.
I'll take this quiz. They got a little drop down. I'll take it.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.